This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org. Here's your host, Mike Causey.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and delighted to have you with us today. We're getting ready for, we are in the midst, actually, of the federal open season, the open enrollment period, when people can make various changes in their benefits package. Probably the most important for most people is the chance to take a look at your federal health insurance, the plan that will cover you and your family next year in 2021. And this is one of my favorite times of the year, not because of the weather, but because I get to visit with Walt Francis. He's one of the best, and we always have great lunches after these shows. Unfortunately, this year, as you might imagine, COVID has reared its ugly head, so we are doing this by Skype and Zoom and various other technologies. But Walt, thank you so much for being here with us. This is a lifesaver. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted, Mike, and I think that your show is so special because we can actually answer the particular questions of real live people who have questions, and I don't have to be staring at my computer writing endless plan comparison.
Yeah. This is live time. Well, I've often said that it seems to me that this time of year, the open season for federal workers and anybody else in the private sector for that matter, that this is a period when you're going to make or you're asked to make what could be one of the most important decisions of the year, so the year being the coming year, 2021, if not maybe your life. And, you know, you look at the situation with the pandemic. And we focus on the death tolls and the number of cases and all that. But almost every night on the news, you see somebody who's recovered after 3 months in a hospital, 3 months in a respirator. And people are having problems after they are, quote, cured. They're showing up various problems. And these are huge financial packages and burdens that we're going to be dealing with down the road. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we now see light at the end of the tunnel with COVID because we'll all have access to vaccines within a couple of months. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet the order of priority, but everybody's going to be able to get the vaccinated. Yeah. No question about that, I think, at this point. But in the meantime, you want to be sure not to catch the disease. And it's pretty important to be in a health plan that covers you well. I think it's hard in this context to make any mistake in the FEHB. Every plan has a good catastrophic benefit. I think to some extent you just sort of divorce your thinking, okay, a little bit from the virus and think more about, hey, as things return to normal, what health plan do I want to be in next year? Maybe you've been putting off some surgery or some treatment that you need. I know a lot of people who have really put things on hold. Well, now's the time to think about which plan will cover me best for the expense I know I'll have, as opposed to the one that I sure hope I don't catch, and as long as I'm careful, I won't catch.
That's a really good point. I know I've put off several doctor's appointments, and I have one on the 21st, but it is virtual. We're going to be doing it in front of a camera, which is going to be interesting and possibly humiliating for me, but that's another story. But you're right, and we do see the for most of us the light at the end of the tunnel with this. But then there are surgeries and procedures that have been put off, and hospitals are talking about this. So when we mean catastrophic, is that, and it says limit to you, and I guess that's self-explanatory. But would you go into it?
Sure. When you buy health insurance, you're buying, insurance. Insurance against what? Being wiped out by the cost of an illness. You're going to get treated regardless. The question is, when all is said and done, are you going to have a $100,000 bill, you know, from the hospital landing on you? Or are you going to have a nice letter from the insurance company saying, we've paid it all, or we've paid all of it above a certain amount? And that certain amount is what we call the maximum out-of-pocket okay, or catastrophic limit. And every plan has a limit, usually around $5,000 or $6,000 for one person and $10,000 or $12,000 for the family. It says, here's the most you can pay out of pocket if the worst happens. Those numbers are not always the same. And one of the ways Checkbook's Guide lets you compare them is actually to array the plans. What's the lowest maximum out of pocket, second lowest, third lowest, et cetera. And we take into account in that the for sure expense of the premium, because there are plans in this system where the premium is more than the maximum out of pocket. So you might pay $6,000 or $8,000 for the premium and $6,000 for the out of pocket. And it's really 10 or 12 just for one person. So you need to sort of watch to look out for all costs, including the premium. But it's hard to go badly wrong in that respect. So if it's the more important it is to you, the more carefully to check it out. The brochures are very specific on how the, what the plan covers and what if there are any loopholes in it. So pay attention to that.
So I guess, you know, we always do the good news, bad news thing in this life. And the good news, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that all of these federal health plans, each and every one, is pretty darn good. Some are just some of the best around, but they're all pretty good. So it's hard to make a mistake in that respect. But some of the premiums, for whatever reason, are simply too high in your view and in many others' view for what you get. Is that a good way to sum it up?
Yeah, it is. That's a great way. What happens is that there are a lot of plans, think of them as legacy plans, that signed up a lot of people when they were young and healthy. Those people have stayed in those plans all their lives as they get older and sicker, and the plan has to cover the expenses of the people who are enrolled. And so inexorably, over time, the premium has gone up. And if the plan has improved benefits over the years, which most of them have, if you just look at the plan you're in, you'll think, oh, gosh, benefits are a little bit better this year, and the premium hasn't gone up much. But the problem is if the premium has gone up 5% a year for the last 20 years, okay, it's doubled two or three or four times, and you may be in spending. And we estimate that about half of all federal employees and annuitants could save around $2,000 a year if they in a family or self plus one coverage if they switch to a lower cost plan. So for heaven's sake, give yourself a pay raise that you didn't expect to get by just changing your plan choice.
Well, back in the day, you know, we had high option and low option plans, and people could figure out, even if maybe they weren't always accurate, but they could figure out that the high option covered more, did more, so it was probably worth a little more. And I notice now that most of them have gone to something like standard or a different. They don't say high or low anymore. They will say standard,
or they say it and it doesn't mean the same thing.
Okay.
As some other plan.
Yeah. So how do you differentiate between that?
I don't think you can go by the names anymore at all, really. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think you just have to look at the particular plan option. Part of the problem is there's been a proliferation of options. I shouldn't say problem. It's not a problem. It's mm-hmm. great. Okay, so that all the big carriers like Blue Cross and GEHA and Aetna and United and have multiple plan options, sometimes six or eight. It behooves you to look at and be sure you're looking at a particular option, not confusing it with some other. The other related problem is that people don't even realize how many plans there are. So I'll bet you that half our listeners today don't know that there is a plan called Blue Cross Focus, okay, FEP Blue Focus, or that there's two GEHA plans called GEHA Elevate and Elevate Plus, or that there's a plan called Aetna Advantage, which is pretty new in the system and is now showing up as the highest rated plan in our system, though it's a close, it's almost a tie for those who have Medicare Parts A and B. Well, if you don't take a look at Aetna Advantage or one of the United Advantage plans, you're missing out on possible very substantial savings.
That's really good to know. And Andrew Mitchell wants us to take a break here, so we better do that. But when we come back, we'll be talking about, you mentioned Medicare. We'll be talking about that here on Federal News Network, 1500 AM. Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Walton Francis. He is the longtime editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And this is literally the Bible. And back in the day, and even to now, today, for we old-timers, there is still a print version, which I enjoy and love. But better yet, it is now online, and it is available to federal workers in many agencies. And we'll get into that in a minute. But the idea is it makes shopping for health insurance relatively easy and relatively painless. And it's certainly, if you heard the first part of the discussion, you pick the health plan you pick now for the year 2021 could turn out to be one of the most important financial and emotional decisions you have made in a long time, maybe ever, because of the catastrophic coverage, the fact that we are still in the midst of a pandemic, and just what could happen to people in the normal course of thing. Well, we ended the last section. We were talking about Medicare Part B. Can't get away from it. And you and I always joke about to be or not to be, and I try to make the columns a little more eye-catching by saying things like to be or not to be. But here's a question from Tony, and he says, earlier this year, I turned 65. After much angst over whether to sign up for Medicare Part B or not, I decided to do so. I have original Medicare. I assume that's Part A. I also wanted to maintain my Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, which essentially functions as a Medicare supplement plan. My question for Mr. Francis is, within the Blue Cross Blue Shield fee-for-service plans, Basic, Standard, and Focus, which works best as a Medicare supplement, both from a coverage perspective as well as from a cost perspective? Good question.
Yeah, no, it's great. And now, you know, what he signed up for, Mike, I'm sure included Part B, okay?
Okay.
So he made the to be or not to be decision, and he made, I think, nowadays that's the right decision. It's pretty clear this was not true 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but we've now got a lot of new options in the system, including plans that will pay all or most of your Part B premium, okay, through reimbursement. And one of the Blue Cross plans, the basic plan, does just that. What we have found in our ratings this year, and by the way, let me just comment, all three plans we're talking about, Blue Cross Standard, Basic, and FEP Blue Focus, do pay, give you essentially we pay 100% of your medical bills wraparound benefit, okay? So in all three, you're paying zero or close to zero for medical care. There's some nuances of difference. They don't waive your drug costs, okay? And they're not equal on their drug benefit. So that could be the deciding factor, for example, between Blue Cross Basic and FEP Blue Focus. That said, either of those two, based on our ratings, it's a coin flip. They're both very good and near the top of our ratings. Blue Cross Standard is way in the rear. It's what's the point of paying a couple of grand in extra premium when in the less expensive plan, you get the same 100% wraparound coverage? So I would take that out of your decision mix. There are rare cases where it might be the best choice, so don't get me wrong. It's not automatically throw it away, but mm-hmm. unless you have some particular health problem that Blue Cross Standard would help you with that the others wouldn't, and I don't know what that problem would be, but there probably are some, I would say go with either Basic or FEP Blue Focus. I don't think there's much to choose between them. It'll be nuances, like how good is the drug benefit for the drugs you take, or is your drug even in the formulary, or do you not want some other, you know, slightly better benefit like chiropractic? So compare those two brochures side by side. There's one for the FEP Blue Focus, and there's one that includes Blue Cross Basic and Standard. But put the Basic and FEP Blue Focus side by side and compare the benefits that matter to you.
And obviously check it to see that your primary physician or your favorite doctor is in their network.
Right. And that's important in either case.
Yeah.
And there are some network differences. I won't go into the, there are differences between those options, but the important thing is if you're on to those two, you're in a good place. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
all I can do is take you to the good place.
Yeah.
I can't make the decision for you.
Make, can't make you drink. Well, that's one of those things, and we'll stick with the B, Medicare B questions, because I know you have a batch from people. But one of the things you mentioned earlier in the show is the fact that when people got into a plan maybe 5 or 10 years ago, maybe they had just retired or were about to retire, and they've stayed in that plan, and it's an excellent plan, as they all are. The problem is a lot of old people, what in the business they call heavy users, people who need a lot of drugs, a lot of medicine, a lot of treatment, are in it, and that has made the premiums go up, as you pointed out in the first segment. So this is yet another reason that, particularly I would think for longtime federal workers, who've been in the program for years, and for certainly for federal retirees, these people should really be shopping around, because they may be paying way too much. I think you said up to $2,000 a year in excess premiums for, and they could get the same thing for $2,000 less.
Absolutely. And the other sort of really important thing now is that there are so many new and better options for being in the FEHVP and Parts A and B of Medicare, that it's no longer kind of, gee, I got to agonize over the Part B decision. Go ahead and sign up for Part B. We had a question from, looks like the name was Seat, okay,
mm-hmm.
C-E-E-T, saying I'm a new retiree. What should I do about Part B? Go ahead when you turn 65 and sign up for Part B. And then you want to take a look for sure. We already talked about two Blue Cross options, one of which basic pays a big chunk of your Part B premium. We now have new, either this year or last year or 2 years ago, but basically new options that will pay all or almost all of your Part B premium. So if you have Parts A and B and you sign up for a plan called Aetna Advantage or any of the United Healthcare plans that have the word choice in their name, or Kaiser High Option in the D.C. area, and in most of the rest of the Kaiser options around the country, they'll pay almost reimburse, I should say, all or almost all of your Part B premium if you both sign up for the federal plan and for their special Medicare Advantage plan, which is specially designed for federal annuitants and basically gives you 100% coverage of all medical costs. It's kind of a no-brainer. And we rate the plans I just mentioned as sort of in a race for, gosh, they're so close together, it's hard for me to say I recommend one over the other. But if your little comparison that you're going to make during open season doesn't include the brochure from one of those plans, Aetna Advantage or United Choice, any of the choice plans, or Kaiser High, you are not doing yourself a favor.
But that's certainly a good problem to have, isn't it? That the plans are so good that you really have to nuance it to see which one is best for you.
It's a terrible problem.
Yeah. Okay, before we continue, I know you got some more Medicare Part B questions, but before we go on here, I know you guys are very proud of and people love this, your online service, the online version of Checkbook. And many federal agencies have subscribed to it. It was interesting to find out that the U.S. Postal Service, and a shout out to them, the U.S. Postal Service has subscribed to it for not only all of its workers, but also for its retirees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's astounding. That's astounding.
And so if you just go to our website, which is guidetohealthplans, all one word, .org, guidetohealthplans.org, right as you sign in for the first time, you're asked, oh, by the way, do you want to check if your agency gives you free access? And please take a look. And there's a long list of federal agencies, many cabinet departments, many large independent agencies, the congressional and White House complex agencies. See if your agency provides free access. And there are even a couple of union and employee organizations.
I noticed the National Treasury Employees Union does that every year.
Yeah, if you're an NTEU member, you got free access.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's inexpensive, okay?
You could buy it. You could actually pay for it on your own.
You could pay for it on your own, out of your penny jar.
Yeah.
It's very simple and easy to use. You just provide a little bit of information. None of it's personal or kept by us. You know, like what zip code you live in, your pay system, your family size.
Right.
And we'll show you in rank order which plans are most likely to be the best buys and by how much in dollars for families like yours.
My son-in-law will be delighted to hear that. He's with the Postal Service. So that's good news. Now, back to the Medicare Part B questions. We got a batch which I sent to you and then cleverly lost. So you have to moderate this part of it, if you will.
Oh, okay. Here's one from Anthony. Early this year, I turned 65 after much angst over whether.
Oh, we did his. We did his early. His was the lead in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. No, no.
You're right. I get lost in these things.
He's a longtime reader. He deserves double mention.
Francine. Mm-hmm. Good, Mike. Good morning. I'm a retired Fed. Medicare Part B has been my primary last couple of years. She's in Blue Cross Basic. Self plus one. His wife sent the email, but anyway, Michael sent by his wife, who's more proficient on the computer probably.
Oh, okay. And Walt, Andrew said we should do the answer after the break here.
So okay.
We'll do that. We'll take a break here on federalnewsnetwork.com, 1500 AM. Be right back. Hey, Mike Causey here on Your Turn. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is the longtime editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, and this is truly the Bible. It was in, at one time a print-only version. Now there's print, and it's online, and it may well be available in your federal agency, but it's certainly worth doing it. Walt has repeatedly said year after year that many people, maybe as many as a third, could save $1,000 to $2,000 a year if they would just do a little selective shopping and maybe get out of a plan that's excellent, but the premiums have just crept up over the years. We were talking about Medicare Part B, which is one of those to-be-or-not-to-be questions. And, well, would you interrupted you for the commercial break here, but before the break, what was the question, and then go to your answer.
Okay, this was from Michael and Francine, in some order.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to decide among plans, some good plans that match well with having Medicare Parts A and B. And they're asking specifically about the differences between Blue Cross Basic, a PPO with a $1,600 rebate. Well, it's not that high a rebate. It's only, I think, $600 or $800. And Aetna Direct with, because $1,600 for two people. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Medicare is a per person. A couple can't sign up for Medicare. You each have to sign up individually. Okay.
Yeah.
And Aetna Direct with about an $1,800 spending account that can be used for the Part B premium. Can you and Walt, Mike, please help? Well, I'll help you by saying those are two very good choices to compare, but you've got two or three more choices I'd recommend you throw in the mix. Aetna Advantage, okay, United Choice, United Choice Primary. There's two of them that have that as the first three. United Healthcare Choice Primary. So look at Aetna plan at one of those United Choice plans, and you could throw into the mixture FEP Blue, that new Blue Cross option. I can never get the name straight. It's too long.
Okay.
Anyway, FEP Blue Focus from Blue Cross. So you got four or five choices. The Aetna Advantage and United Choice plans we rate as likely to save you maybe an extra $1,000 or a little more compared to the other three. Most of these are PPO plans, very similar to the norm for most national plans in the FEHB today.
And that stands for preferred provider option. So it's their doctor's network.
But the Aetna direct plan is a consumer-driven plan with a high deductible and a big savings account. And the trick there is the savings account is available for any of your medical expenses, including your Part B premium. But it's not quite as rated quite as high by us this year as its close cousin at Advantage. So you got a handful of wonderful choices, and you know, some subtle difference between them will be probably what decides you on which one is best to join. But those are excellent options.
Okay. And you had, what, a couple more questions?
Yeah, one is from someone that's very sad. What's the best self plus husband plan for someone with pancreatic cancer? Okay. And the answer is, I don't know, and nobody knows, but you have a very simple and straightforward thing you need to do, which is talk to your medical care providers. And this advice applies to anyone who's got a specific health problem, whether it's a more modest problem or a life-threatening problem like this one. Talk to your medical care providers, and this may be the staff, mm-hmm. not the doctor himself, right. about which health plan or plans pay best for the particular medicines you're taking. Okay, you're taking chemotherapy for your husband is, for sure. And there may be important differences in cost to you under different plan options. And the providers ought to know, you know, what are other people who are your patients? What plan are they in? Or you can talk to your pharmacy. They'll give you similar advice. So what we recommend you do in cases where you have a known disease, check with the providers to make sure they're in the network. Okay. And then maybe in the network of plan A, but not plan B, and make sure that your any really expensive treatments like chemo drugs are well covered. And I wish you both very good luck.
Yeah, well, that's really good advice, because when you go into a doctor's office, somebody who handles the books, and preferably if they're a nurse or a medical person, they know the ins and outs, and they know who's in this plan and who's not and who's covered. And you can't get better advice than from them, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and you had another question, I believe.
Okay. Another Blue Cross question from Anthony. Did we do Anthony?
Don't think so.
Earlier this year, I turned 65.
Oh, we did. That's Anthony C.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did him. Okay. Okay. So he made the right decision, signed up for Part B. I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with being retired and not having Part B. Over a third of all federal annuitants don't have Part B. You know, because they say quite sensibly, why should I pay for two insurance plans when I got a real good one that I was in at age 64 and it didn't get worse when I turned 65? And really, you're better off in most FEHB plans without Part B than in almost any other option, except one of these plans with a special Medicare Advantage option that can basically take away that second premium by reimbursing all or most of it. And okay. And even then, they're not going to save a whole lot more money than those of you who start out paying just one premium. Hey, but they will give you that Medicare wraparound that you don't get in your original FEHB plan without Part B.
I was looking at your book this morning, and in the Washington area alone, federal workers and retirees, there's 41 plans that they are eligible to join. And this is virtually everybody, you know. And it doesn't matter if you have pre-existing conditions, you know, bad habits, dangerous hobbies, you're in it. Now, when people approach a catastrophic limit in a plan, they worry about that. But and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you do that, you could simply switch to another plan. Do you start over again? Your catastrophic limit?
Yeah, it's a yearly limit.
Yeah.
So, when you change plans in open season, the plan change takes effect on or about January 1st. January 1st for annuitants, and maybe in the next. Beginning of the next pay period for employees. Everything kicks in new. You got a new deductible, you got a new limit, So it actually behooves you, if you've been spending a lot this year for disease X, and you now turns out you have disease Y or problem Y, you might, and you've already come close to your catastrophic limit, go ahead and get that elective surgery if you can in the era of COVID, before the end of the year, and actually take advantage of the catastrophic limit. So you could time things as well. A lot of things you need to optimize. My favorite example, because it's a happy one, is people who are going to have a baby next year. Well, it turns out that a lot of the planned child, or maybe unplanned, but expected, well, it turns out a lot of plans say, we will cover all your maternity expenses. You'll pay nothing for before delivery, during delivery, or after delivery in our plan, provided your obstetrician or gynecologist is in our plan's preferred provider network. For heaven's sakes, call your obstetrician's or gynecologist's office and say, what plan is Doc Sawbones in next year in the network? And that plan or plans are the ones you ought to be picking from.
Can you list some of those plans? We're talking about HMOs here.
No, I'm talking about national plans or HMOs. I don't actually know offhand which ones provide the maternity wraparound deal, but it's most of them. The point is, your doctor better be in the network to get that deal.
Very good. Okay. Yeah, this is so fascinating. I got an email from a woman the other day, and she was kind of complaining about her husband's a government worker, and she was complaining about the federal government, and she said her private sector company had a better health insurance deal than the federal government. And I found that surprising, because very few that I've ever seen. But at any rate, she said they did. And I said, okay. And so they enrolled under her plan. So he's not in the FEHBP, although he's a Fed. They are under her private sector plan. And I said, are you going to keep that forever? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, are you planning for him to ever retire? And I backed into the five-year rule. Could you explain that?
Sure. Actually, they have two problems. Mm-hmm. One is that she'll, of course, lose the private insurance at age 65. Mm-hmm. Virtually, you know, hardly any private companies anymore. They may subsidize you a little bit in Medicare, but they're not, you know, they don't provide a post-retirement plan like the feds do.
Yeah.
Okay. So suppose her husband dies tomorrow of a heart attack or something, because he's not enrolled in FEHBP in a self plus one option. She will lose forever to be covered by the FEHB. So she's got a problem today.
Yeah.
And add to that the five-year problem, which is that unless he is continuously enrolled in an FEHB plan for the 5 years before retirement, he and his dependent wife will lose coverage under the FEHBP the day he retires. Okay. So you've got to be in the FEHB for at least the 5 years before you retire, and you'd better be covering your spouse, okay, if you want to make sure there's no risk involved, and you can carry that plan into retirement, the program, because it's any plan. You've still got those around 40 plans that you could choose from in the D.C. metro area. It's kind of a no-brainer. And then you'll be able to get these deals like the ones I've been talking about, where you get 100% coverage, you pay not a thin dime for any medical expense, and your Medicare Part B premium is reimbursed, okay? And so it's actually a better deal than before you retired at this point.
That's fantastic.
What's not to like?
It's fantastic. That adds another question. I want to wait until after the break here on federalnewsnetwork.com, 1500 AM. Stick with us. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Walton Francis, the editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. And I hope you refer this show to a friend. We will be archived on our homepage, and you can hear this and other Your Turn shows again. And I think this will be helpful to people. Walt, before we took the break, we were talking about health insurance. You know, a husband is a Fed, the wife is not. They choose her health insurance, and the danger is that when she retires, she will lose her health insurance, and he will not have health insurance either. He needs to get a federal employee plan right now and have that 5-year option to maintain his eligibility. Now, what's about a situation where he gets a self-only plan? He's the Fed. He gets a self-only plan. She keeps her private sector plan, and he dies. Can she then switch over, knowing that at 65 she's going to lose insurance? Can she switch over to the federal health plan?
Nope, she's out of luck. Okay. If he died without her being covered as dependent in a self plus one or family option, the day he dies, she still has her private insurance, but she's lost forever any eligibility for the FEHB. Now, there are, I'm not sure I'd call them private employers, you know, the World Bank,
yeah,
and the Montgomery County school system. There are some places out there that have very good, post-retirement plan situations that aren't the FEHVP, mm-hmm, but they're few and far between, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is, who do you trust more, the federal government or, you know, even a Fortune 500 company? They come and go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Company may not even exist, let alone its health plan.
Yeah, that's right. If you're lucky, they're grandfathered in. Just turn to one of my favorite subjects here. That I feel almost naughty talking about this because it's wild and woolly for the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, and I tend to understand it, and then 30 minutes later it goes away. But it's something you refer to as a Roth IRA on steroids, the high deductible health insurance plans, and I just think of this as the wildest thing in the world, but you're a big fan, correct?
Absolutely, and we've been focusing on the geezer population. Let's turn now to younger people, but up to and including middle-aged people nearing retirement age, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are high-deductible plan options, about 4 or 5 of them in the D.C. metro area, mostly national plans. These are plans where the plan won't cover any medical expenses until you have paid maybe $2,000 or $3,000 out of pocket, but they give you a savings account that you can use to pay those medical expenses, maybe for 2/3 of that high deductible before you run out. And then at some point, regular insurance kicks in and they have very good coverage, just like regular insurance plan. But because you're paying first dollar coverage either directly or out of your savings account, you have a huge incentive to be frugal, okay, and not to indulge in unnecessary doctor visits. And so, and it turns out that people who have an incentive to be frugal are frugal, and the premiums are low. And we find these plans are great deals for people of almost any age or family status. You can actually augment the savings account in these plans by putting more money of your own in. But here's the key thing. If you are in fairly good health with no really high, for example, prescription drug bills that keep rolling in every year, these plans are great for being in a few years, building up your savings account. And then once it reaches $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, yeah, that's what's going to happen, which I'll explain in a second. You'll never have to pay a dime again for healthcare because you've got an investment vehicle, sort of like an IRA, but better, as I'll explain, and to cover any of your expenses, even in a bad year. These plans have what's called a health savings account, HSA. It's a very particular kind of arrangement in which the money that's put into this account, which in these plans is mostly paid by the plan from the premium that you and the government have paid, goes into an account that, just like an IRA account, it's managed by an account manager, by a major national company, bank or other company, and you make investment decisions. The money goes in tax-free. It grows through your investments over time tax-free. And if and when you spend it on healthcare, it comes out tax-free. So it's a triple whammy of tax preferences, better than a Roth IRA. And it's actually, I think, one of these few cases where in the FEHBP, you really only have to think 1 year ahead because there's an open season every year. But you need to think about the high deductible plans in terms of your lifetime investment portfolio. It's a major option.
I heard of someone, someone I actually know, who has allegedly has an HG or HSA account that's worth $30,000. Is that doable?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's actually fairly easy to happen. You know, if you put, say, a couple puts in $1,500 a year into their savings account and doesn't spend it, okay, well, hey, after 5 years, that's, you know, $7,500 plus it's earning money, okay? And, yeah, after 10 years or so, you know, it's not a lifetime, you're probably sitting on $20,000 or more.
Well,
it can easily be done.
Andrew just gave us the minute and a half warning countdown. Can you sum up a minute and a half what people should be doing right now?
They should be making a smart decision in the light of their own health circumstances. This is the time. It only takes half an hour to sit down and think about your family's health situation. Do it over Thanksgiving break, okay? You're still quarantined probably, but, you know, nonetheless, it is a holiday. You can relax. What are our health needs? How good is the plan we're in? Have you checked the plan brochure to make sure that nothing bad has happened? The brochures have a common format, and they all have something called Section 2, how this plan changes for next year. Read that one page. You don't have to read the other 100 pages, just that one page. If you're retired and nearing or past Medicare age, go look at Section 9 that discusses the plan's Medicare arrangements. They may not be what you think. Use, and I don't care whether it's the checkbook tool or the OPM tool, which is very good, even though they don't rate plans for costs the way we do, for costs to you. But by hook or by crook or throwing a dart, try to look at two or three other plan brochures. Spread your horizons a bit. You've probably never heard of GEHA Elevate or Elevate Plus, or until this show, FEP, the FEP Blue, and I still can never remember the name.
Sounds like a Bobby Darin song, yeah. But
FEP Blue Focus. Blue
okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you, Andrew Mitchell, for running the show. Hope to see you here next week. Have a good week. Do your homework. We'll be talking to you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Good week.
You've been listening to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org.